Welcome to episode 98 of Valve-based Stuttgart American, an American-based English language Valve-based Stuttgart fan podcast where reviews are unofficial, uninformed, usually unprepared. This is episode 98. Like I said, we are your hosts. I am Travis. You can reach me at Hazelfish. Matt is back. You can reach him at Cell Racer. You can reach us at Valve Americana, online at valve-stuttgartamericana.com. Matt, the word of the day is flawless. I had to look this up, but it's in, as in Seru's flawless hat trick, which, like I said, I had to look up. It's when a player scores three goals in a row in one half without the halftime break or a goal scored by another player interrupting the performance. Matt, have you ever been flawless like Seru was this past weekend?
I have had one experience that could maybe come close. I was a Turbo Band nerd growing up. And one of the two of the ensembles I played with at some point during our solo ensemble competition thing, the judges just closed the music and sat back and listened. And when they got done, they asked us about rehearsal strategies instead of normally what they do, which is pick apart your performance. So I don't know if it was flawless or they didn't understand what we were doing. I don't care. It felt pretty baller. It's like a 17-year-old to have an adult music professional just go, yeah, that was awesome. I've got no comments.
That's pretty fantastic. I've played flawless tennis where I've been beaten 6-0, 6-0 before. So I think, you know, that's perfection.
That counts. That counts.
Right. And Ted last week predicted that Seru was going to score a brace. He did not score a brace, Ted. He scored a hat trick. So, Matt, would you join me in booing Ted as we go to the shout outs? That's really the best you've got,
right? Boo, there. Ted. Boo.
All right, let's go to shout outs. You know what? It makes sense we haven't been able to boo very well because we haven't had much to boo this season. Gary Preston almost had Valpe Bingo. He missed the easy one in the middle. It was Seru to the Premier League, but he did say Seru to some other leagues, but we're not going to give him that. So alas, Valpe Bingo still has not been completed.
I really, real quick, want to give a shout out to Gary Preston. He loves saying Seru Jasi more than any human being on the planet. It felt like he was just chewing on the word every time he got to say it. I was laughing by the end of the game every time. It was never just Seru, never Jirasi, always the full name, full accent, loved it, no notes. Well done, Gary.
I don't know if you remember the 1990s commercials, the Ruffles Have Ridges, and it was Ruffles Have Ridges. So he started to pronounce Anthony Rouleau's name, Anthony Rouleau. I was like, I don't. Derek, is that right? Derek Ray, where are you right now? So, yeah, Gary was in full form this weekend. We'll actually talk about him later. He did a great job. Speaking of great jobs, pod predictions, Matt. We all went 5-4. How does it feel to be kind of part of the team? I mean, we were all together in this one.
I prefer domination of you fools, but I guess it's nice to be on a team.
Yeah, too bad for you. You're in second. Austin, of all people, is still in the lead. 41 wins over your 37. So you're right there. But we're all over 500. And speaking of a team that's well over 500, congratulations to the Valpe Frauen. They won again. They beat SV Gottenheim 8-1, despite being a woman down when their goalie, Bessa Lecce, unfortunately got a red card. They're undefeated. They're 4-0. I mean, they're rocking the Oberliga right now.
Every time I check in on their scores and their performances, they are playing complete dominating soccer. It is amazing. The only downside is I can't find a video feed to watch the ladies. So if somebody knows, please hit us up on the Twitter box and let us know how to see some of these dominating performances.
Yeah, the U21 team is doing really well. The U19, everybody's doing well in white and red this year. It's crazy. Former Stuttgart players, Dinos played his first match for was it West Ham, I believe. He played 90 minutes in a Europa League game against Freiburg midweek. Juan Pereira played 45 minutes for Hansa in a loss to one of the best names ever, Greuther Fürth. Wahid has a hip injury, so he didn't play too much. But the reason I'm bringing up the shout-outs to former players is that my phone, for some reason, accidentally or purposely brought up a picture of Gil Dias. So I had to look him up. Old friend Gil Dias, who is technically on loan. He is still in Poland. He has played his third match in a row. So shout out to Gil. Maybe he's found a home.
Third match in a row for the same team?
Well, yes, and came off the bench. So, but still, that, yeah, same league, same team, same city, Warsaw, he's there.
That's For our boy Gil, I feel like that's a win. So nice to see him have some stability in life.
I wonder if he rents places month to month or he ever gets a year lease.
Man, I hope so.
OFC Fantasy Village Footy with a close victory over Kentucky FC and Lukestad. They've got a 60-point lead, so give Village Footy a listen. They do a great job. OFC Tip Spiel, Travis, myself, won it this week. David was second. Peter, Steven is still in first over me. It's funny because I'm second overall in that prediction competition, but I'm fourth overall in our podcast prediction. Man, I'm not sure what this says other than, are you three in the other one?
So man of the match, huh? How about that? That was really, glad that voting was close, huh?
Good segue. Thanks for covering for me there. Go see man of the match. So without much surprise, Seiru got the most votes, 100% of the votes. But we did it a little different this time when we sent out the OFC. We allowed two votes because I think the idea that David had of having at least two choices makes sense. Seiru, he was the kicker player of the week for the third time this season. He is just playing lights out, as we'll talk about later. Chris made sense as the other player of the match. Alex Neubel did as well. I voted for Alex. Who'd you vote for that second one?
I had Schiller. After our conversation a couple weeks ago about the impact he was having and some of the comments we've gotten, I went out of my way to watch more of him during the game, and he is really, really impressive. I think Furich and Neubel are both definitely worthy candidates, but I was just really impressed at all the little things that Schiller was doing throughout the game that made a huge difference.
Speaking of the game, Matt, let's dive into part two, the match itself. All right, so Matt, we're playing against Wolfsburg, and this is weird because we've played some easier teams on the schedule, Darmstadt, Bochum, and the one really good team, Leipzig, kind of threw us, you know, for a loop. But we played really against Freiburg, who's, you know, was really good last year. So this gets into our opening intro song. So we told everybody last week that we've got the new intro, which is Auld Lang Syne. You know, I love this song, Wenn du mich fragst, wer Meistervid. Dann sage ich zu dir, es können nicht die Schwaben sein, die Jungs von VfB. To the tune of Auld Lang Syne, that's amazing. And we just added the new one, Spitzenreiter, hey, hey. Basically, table leader, hey, hey. Matt, this is from Ross. According to him, this is the 17th best start in the history of the Bundesliga. Just a fun fact. Ross, you're right. This is fun. Matt, what is happening right now before we dive into the match to our VfB? Every time I turn on the TV to watch another match, we're coming up, Seiru's coming up. What is happening?
I have no idea. The VfB Stuttgart's good. The local NFL club for me, the Detroit Lions, are dominant this year. Austin's winning our predictions. I don't know what's going on. The entire world is upside down. But man, is it fun to watch. It's a joy to turn on the TV and be like, how are we going to make it happen this time? And my buddy, who's a Wolfsburg fan, texted me after the game and said, just dominant performance. And how are you guys not more upset that people aren't talking more about how good your team is? And my response was just, as long as we keep winning, I don't care what they're saying.
It's funny you mention that, because that's basically what Niko Kovac, the coach of Wolfsburg, said after the match. It's just like, they're really good. And we had a chance in the first half, but we didn't put it away. And then once they got that first goal, everything turned. He just basically tipped his cap to Honus and to the fellas. So this is now, Wolfsburg's kind of weird because now we've almost evened up the season, our career series with them, 20 wins, 22 losses. They're 0-3 in the road, their last three. So their away form isn't so great. And I actually changed my prediction. And I kind of do this all the time. It's like after a win, I'm super optimistic. Then when we get closer to the match, I start to go, oh gosh. And it was kind of like the stock market. I'm like, at some point, this run has got to come to an end. Now, I changed my prediction because Vabi was the favorite in this one. I thought we would get a result. I thought we would get a point. But I have a ton of respect for Niko Kovac and the way that he plays. Very kind of negative football, very defensive, very physical. Thankfully, unlike my actual investments, I was very wrong in this one. Are we able to play physical football now? Because this used to be our kind of boogie team. We weren't able to play against a Darmstadt who was going to out-physical us, or a Wolfsburg who had talent and was going to out-physical us. I mean, what were your thoughts going into this one, and have we kind of unlocked the key to being able to play physical football as well as kind of tactical football.
Going into this one, I was less confident than I have been, because Wolfsburg, I genuinely think, is a solid team. They should be upper mid-table end of the season. And I still think that after watching the game, they did a lot of things really right. And I think we were fortunate in a couple ways to come out as well as we did. I don't know. I feel like we're playing a little more physical. I don't feel like we're playing a lot more physical. I do feel like the team is able to shrug off the physical attack some and pivot around them. So you've got a guy like Schiller, like Carazor, playing the defensive mid position that they can get just pounded on all game and kind of not let it phase them. And Milo and Furich and Llewellyn, who had a pretty decent game, even though he didn't score out great, he played pretty well. Those guys are able to pivot and move around things and kind of neutralize that physical attack. So I don't know that we're necessarily playing more physical. I think we're just able to deal with it better and let our talent shine in ways that we haven't before.
I wonder how much of that is leadership from Anton. And last week he got into it with David Selke from Cologne, who is a very physical forward. This week, Ada Carazor got into it with, I believe, Maximilian Arnold, their captain, in the midfield. And he actually posted on his Instagram page, hey, great win. Congratulations to the club. But it was him and Arnold getting into it face to face. And so it wasn't a picture of them in front of the crowd. It was him and Arnold. I think it's weird. We're able to kind of have this nice mix of technical, but also physical. We can play a team that just wants to play Mainz, Darmstadt type, and a team that wants to play kind of up and down like Freiburg does. So it's just a nice kind of a switch that we see going into this one. Going into this one too, we dive into the lineup. It was the exact same lineup as last time. So Daxo was out. Silas was out. So Ruo was in. Hey, Gary. And Leveling was in. Old friend Thiago was starting for Wolfsburg. So any thoughts on what they had? Because they had Vint too, who's was a striker on a tear. They had old friend Thiago. No real changes in our lineup.
I thought they played well. They gave us a lot. Thiago Tomás ate Stenzel's lunch for most of that game. And that's not to say Stenzel was particularly bad, just that Tomás was really good. He made really good use of his runs. He had a couple opportunities where I thought for sure he was going to score, and just Nubel took it away from him at the last second. So nice to see him doing well, especially nice to see him doing well when it didn't punish us too much. But I thought they were well set up to go head-to-head with us. We both play that 4-2-3-1. I was a little concerned with Vint. He was completely neutralized the entire game. I don't know. I thought Arnold was one of their more dangerous guys, but I think that was more because I kept seeing him getting into shoving matches with Stuttgart players and getting real mad, like real big mad.
He was in the referee's back pocket the whole time. It was like he was just used to the zebra the whole match.
If you're going to be the team playing physical bully football, you can't also be the team getting big mad all the time. Just that will come back and bite you in the ass. And that's what got Wolfsburg, is they were big mad and we weren't. And that what made them more mad. And we still didn't care.
Yeah, I thought there were four big talking points in this match. The one was Thiago versus Stenzel. The other one was the Honus changes around the 60-minute mark. There was the VAR call. And then obviously there were Seru's beautiful goals. Going to the Thiago, as Gary Preston said, was making, quote, mincemeat out of Stenzel for long portions. It was good to see that Thiago still can't finish in Mercedes-Benz or at MHP Arena just like he used to, but he played lights out fantastic.
Yeah,
and Stenzel was struggling against him. It was funny because after the match, Honus and Stenzel kind of looked at each other, and Honus almost gave him like one of those, hey, it's okay, you'll par the next hole type of thing. Like, it just was a bad matchup for Pascal there. And Daniel up in your part of the words, Michigan, says to us, again, a man of the match, quote, Seru was the obvious choice, but I think Furich had a stellar game. So did Nubel. Going to Stenzel. Stenzel did not. This was one of those matches that last year we would have lost, end quote. And so this kind of gets to the second talking point I want to dive into, where the changes around the 60th minute mark. So around the 60th minute mark, Stenzel is pulled for Silas, and Leveling is pulled for Undav. Those are not like-for-like changes, okay? Yeah. And I didn't, you could tell that we had shifted formations, and I kind of looked a little bit this up later. So we went from the 4-2-3-1 that you mentioned earlier to more of a, almost a 3-5-2 or a 3-4-3, but a much more attacking formation. And 6 minutes later, the results took place as we got the penalty kick. So let's talk about that for a second. So Undav comes in. He's a forward. Silas comes in. He's certainly not a right back like Stenzel is. This, from everything I read, and you could definitely see it, seemed to be the change, the major change in the match that had the biggest impact. Not so much the penalty kick, not so much even Seru. What do you think about Honus's changes here, the aggressive nature of it? And do you agree this was kind of where the game changed?
I love the aggressive nature of it. I was not positive when I saw the changes. I was trying to figure out what Silas in for Stenzel, like what was going on. But I agree with you. I think we moved to a three at the back. I think it shows the versatility of the guys we have playing in the back line that we're able to do that. And just the team as a whole that we're able to flex from the 4-2-3-1 we've been playing all season to something completely different on the fly. That was awesome. I liked Undav coming in. I'm becoming an Undav fan. The guy just makes a difference when he's out there. He's dangerous constantly. And Silas, I love Silas as a 60-minute sub and send him to like turn on the afterburners and just go as hard as you can for 30 minutes and see what happens. And he definitely, that third goal that Gerasi got, Silas created that goal. In a more just world for him, he wouldn't get tripped up by the goalie making the save. You know, no penalty or anything, just one of those things that happens. And he bites it on his face and then has to watch Gerasi score right over top of him, basically.
It was so funny, yeah, because there's a great scene at the end of it, too, where Haraguchi, who basically, I think, is just on the roster to be the calming old dude who can say, hey, I've seen it all before, goes up to Silas afterwards and kind of gives him one of those shrugs, like, what are you doing? And Silas just kind of laughs it off. It was a very cute kind of moment there where they all know he's gripping a bit, but he's getting the chances. Yeah. He's going to get it in there. Yeah, I thought it was really interesting because initially when the changes happen, I'm like, well, this Silas change makes no sense because Thiago is just destroying us and he's going to destroy Silas because of course it takes me a minute to realize, oh, this isn't a FIFA video game where you're just going to plug them into the same formation. You're going to rotate things around. Then you could see pretty quickly they had shifted to more of a three at the back. We sang Honus's praises earlier. We'll talk about it later, but that seemed to be a big shift. Let's talk about the VAR penalty kick for a second because I had to watch it multiple times before I came to my final opinion on it. What were your thoughts on the call? First the non-call, then the call, and then a Pavlenka just chipping it down the middle. Is that a move you're going to do if you're kicking it?
No, I do not have the intestinal fortitude to go Pavlenka. I'm going corner.
Yep.
And hoping I don't miss the net by a mile. Either that or the dribbler down the middle, hoping the goalie's too embarrassed to get back up. I heard heard on the broadcast over and over and over again that Gary was saying, you know, no, he stepped on the ball. It was pretty clear he didn't step on the ball. He got his kicked right in the Achilles, got his foot kicked out from underneath him. I thought in real time, they just got tangled up and it wasn't a penalty. Upon replay, it was pretty clear to me real fast that that was a penalty. And so I think VAR did justice in this instance.
Yeah, I've always said that VAR is the greatest invention ever known to football. And
you are well known for saying that.
I thought, too, Gary was right. I was like, he just tripped on the ball. He fell. And then the first two replays, I didn't see it either. And then finally, when I watched it again a day later, I saw that he was clipped on the back foot away from the ball. And so it was a clear penalty there. Yeah, I'm not doing a Pavlenka. When I played really bad high school soccer, my thing was I would always look right and then I would toe poke it like the American I was to the left, very slow, and just hope, you know, the goalie dived the other way. So that was just a ballsy shot on his part. So let's get into the other shots on his part. So it's getting to the point with Seru to where if he doesn't get the ball in the net and has a shot on goal, we're almost like, what is happening? Are you in a slump right now? Come on, sir. So I don't know which one you want to talk about more. The thing before we even get to the goal is I love his communication and his, I don't know if you want to call it demand or requests of where the guys are putting the ball. You can see it a lot to where he gives the thumbs up that everybody does, but you can see too that a lot of times he's telling them, hey, thread it through here or put it here. Mm-hmm. And it seems like there is a good level of chemistry right now. And of course there would be, they're playing out lights out and they're winning all the time, but it seems like there's a good level of chemistry to where he can yell at them. And it's in a way to where it's constructive as opposed to what are you doing? You just gave up my chance at a goal. So let's talk about that a little bit. Like his hold up play the last couple of games, he's been really swamped. And so he hasn't had that kind of touch where the ball just sticks to him. It's kind of bounced off a little bit more. I think partly because he's just surrounded. Talk about what you see when it comes to his communication, his play, because he's not always way up cherry picking. A lot of times he's back holding up the ball, setting it up, and then moving forward.
Yeah, and Gary mentioned on the broadcast too that Girassi's hold-up play is underrated and he's creating opportunities for his teammates. And in the last game, he didn't score, but helped create some opportunities. So I do think he's getting a lot more attention from opposing defenses, and that's going to make his hold-up a lot more difficult. But I do, your comment about the communication, there was an opportunity or two where Girassi was in a good spot and like Furish didn't get him the ball in one and the Welling didn't get him the ball in the other. And he kind of chewed on him for a minute and looked really pretty upset. But then at the same time, when he scores, he's going right to the assist man and giving a big high five. So it's kind of like, you and I both know if you can get it to me here, I'm going to make this happen and I need your help. And so he gives it to him when they don't do what he's asking, but he also celebrates them when they do. And I think that's the key part. It's not all about Seiru. It's about, we need a goal. Mm-hmm. I can do my piece, but I need you to do your piece first. Yeah. And that's the frustration. I think if we weren't winning, or if he wasn't shooting at a 90% success rate or something, the attitudes on the field might be a little different.
Yeah, that goes back to the last match when or two matches ago when Enzo scored, and the happiest guy out there looked to be Seiru. It was super exciting. Enzo went to him and celebrated with him first before anything else. So there does seem to be a great chemistry here. The goals themselves were just, oh my goodness, that second goal where he was able to kind of juke the guy out, almost break his ankles, as they would say, and act like he was going to shoot, but he just extended the play a little bit, then just hit it off the outside of his right foot. Reminded me of that Borna Sosa cross he had a last season where he did the same thing. And then that third goal was almost comical because poor Silas is laying on the ground going, what am I going to have to do to score? And then Enzo's like, I'm in the way. I need to get out of the way. And he does a little bunny hop trying to get out of the way. I think we're going to be seeing that third goal on those Bundesliga highlight halftime shows for a while because it was just such unique. His presence is amazing. Any thoughts on either of those two goals? If you had to pick one of them, which was your favorite?
I think the third one, you could put a Yakety Sack soundtrack over and it would not be terribly out of place. That second one, though, just like you could show that video to the physics teacher at the high school you teach at and have him use that as an example for angular momentum. I'm still not entirely sure how he got enough force at the right angle on that ball to get it in the net. It looked to me like that was going to be stumbling over the ball or the end line. And that was going to be it. Maybe that's just because that's what we're used to seeing because we haven't had somebody with a Girassi level touch before. But that was the one, the second one was what impressed me the most.
You can tell that Dennis doesn't think the ball has a chance at going in because he slows up. And if he had the wherewithal to think that Seiru had a chance to get that ball even across there, I think he would have sprinted even further closer to the net itself to try to maybe just poach that one in. But it was such a unique play. It was such a wild goal there. So he got another hat trick. Let's get into the final thoughts and the reality here. They probably could have scored another, or at least had more chances. The last 7-8 minutes, they were not even trying to score. It was really not bizarre. That's what good teams do. They just try to hold the ball and doing the corner. I was like, let's get another because I don't want to hurt. So the final thoughts and reality here. So we jumped from third place on the table to first place for a day. We are currently in second place. Honus is just on a tear. He's only lost two Bundesliga matches since he's taken over. He's got a goal difference of 51-4 and 24 against. It's just crazy. It took us 21 match days last season to surpass 18 points. I put this on Twitter. It only took us 7 matches this season. Gary Preston is talking about Europa play. There's people, I was watching the match, the Bayern match, and then the Bayer Leverkusen match later today. They're talking about VfB Stuttgart is challenging for a top 7 spot. This is nuts. You know, Seiru is the only player to have ever scored this many goals after 7 matches. And I think one of the really cool things here is one of the players after the match said, quote, ultimately, we could no longer withstand the pressure of the stadium, end quote. I'm going to touch on that one first, and then I'll let you take over. To me, this goes back to what we've said forever, and it's going to go into something I'm going to talk about in the second segment when we get to news and headlines, is that home support, once it gets going, because it was a little quiet there initially, but once it gets going, that place seems to be a pressure cooker. And to hear the other team actually admit to that is wild. Because I think everybody's always known that that's a tough place to play. And back when Sven and Reno were here, it was a place that was super supportive of the players. And then when those guys were gone, it stayed that way. It didn't split or fracture. And now that we're actually having some success, it's even louder than ever before. And the tangible effect of that on the players and the opposition, I think, is just wild. It's nuts. And I think that's why you don't see that in American sports as much, maybe college football, but that's just nuts that that place is becoming such a cauldron for anybody else to try to come and get a win in.
Yeah. And I did notice that at the start of the game, it was a little quiet. And I thought, hey, it's interesting that you and I both noticed that. And B, I was like, well, what's going on? And I almost felt like the fans were waiting for the first goal to erupt. And then after it didn't come within the first 10 or 15 minutes, they're like, oh, that's right. We have to do our part too. And then they got locked in. It is interesting to hear Kovac admit that it's tough to play. I haven't, the only other place I've seen it like this is in college hockey, actually. Michigan plays at Yost Ice Arena, which is tiny. The student section is huge. They're intense. That's the only place I've ever seen a player on the playing surface in, like, quote-unquote professional sports lose their mind on the fans. And I've seen it happen multiple times at Yost Ice Arena. And it's bad enough that the NCAA has a rule now that you can't play playoff round, or the Big Ten does, can't play like playoff round hockey games at home locations because nobody wanted to go to Yost Ice Arena. So they have to be held at neutral venues, which sucks, but it is what it is. I think we're seeing that effect here. And it's just when you do something wrong and you've got thousands of people looking at you going, you did that wrong, and cheering for your demise, there's a psychological toll that that takes on guys. And especially when it's just constant, which our fans are constant, and I love it.
Yeah, especially since I think there was only about 500 traveling Wolfsburg supporters that made it to the match, to the point where they opened up some of the away support to home fans for that. And I imagine if this run of form continues and they are able to get the bench side of the arena with seats as they're constructing now, that place is even going to get louder. Yeah, it's a crazy run of form these guys are on. Let's look at the other runs of form that are going on. As we look at the table, this is crazy. We're going to look at the top of the table first. So Leverkusen easily won over Cologne in a derby match. Bayern easily won over Freiburg. Dortmund withstood a spirited Union effort. And us. Those are your top four, Matt. This is just, it's crazy for us to look at the top over the last few years rather than the bottom. But because that's who we are, we will. So the bottom, you've got Cologne, they lost. Mainz and Bochum got draws. Augsburg fell to Darmstadt. So those first four are your bottom four. So final thoughts on the week as we head into the international break, a well-deserved break for the guys.
It is so great to be going into the international break thinking about how much success we've had and how much more we've got on tap instead of wondering if it's time to start worrying about relegation battles again.
Who's our new coach going to be?
Will exactly. he be
a coach who used to coach here? So yeah, it's awesome to head into the break feeling good about stuff. And that's what a lot of the headlines and the questions are. So Matt, what do you say? Part three, news headlines, questions. You ready for some more happy, some more fun?
That's love happy, love fun.
So here we are in part three, news headlines and questions. So we were going to have, because Gary Preston kept mentioning about how the Vossen party won't stop. And I guess there ain't no party like a Vossen party, and a Vossen party won't stop. So we wanted to bring somebody who had been in attendance there, Andres, but he wasn't able to make it to kind of give us some details on that. So hopefully we can talk to him later. It's supposed to be like an Oktoberfest type party. Maybe that's why the crowd was a little bit quiet to start. Everybody's a little bit... bossing out, a little hungover going into the big match.
Could have been focused on the recovery beers, little hair of the dog.
So let's get into a couple of the news and headlines, Ed. I'll let you pick which one you want to talk about. So Alex Neubel's birthday was last week, got the big win, got the clean sheet. And the reason why he signed with Valve B was reported from Kicker that the team had recruited him really hard. They had sent him videos of the home crowd support, but also the marching up to the stadium that they often do. And apparently, according to him, that's what won him over. The second big story is Woo Young Jung and the South Korean team won gold in the Asian Games, which is big for him for a number of reasons. One of them, selfishly, being that he avoids 20 months of military mandatory service, now just has to do 3 weeks of it. Freiburg wins too because of this situation. He's going to be with Valpi longer than he would have been, so they get a bit of a bonus over the $3.5 million transfer that we got. So which one of those you want to touch on, the Neubel story or the fact that Woo Young just got a little bit of freedom?
Love the freedom for Woo Young. Thankfully the Valpi international account was retweeting a bunch of stuff from the match, so we got to keep up with it without stressing Google Translator on Korean on top of German. But I'm really curious about this Neubel thing. They went after him like a college football recruit.
Yeah, so apparently the story is Volgemut went after him hardcore to the point where he admitted, he's like, I think we were annoying him at one point. And they knew they had to upgrade the goalkeeping position for a while, and so he was their number one priority. And one of the things they did is they sent out videos of the home support and basically the chants that they do and how they've just been nothing but just that supportive over the last, you know, how many years. And according to him, he had other suitors, one being in the Premier League, and this is what won him over. He wanted to be in Germany. He wanted to come back home and kind of reestablish his career. But that home support was something that, whether he's exaggerating a bit or whether it's true, but apparently it played a big role in it. And this kind of goes to what we talked about last segment about how the home crowd is just a tangible reason, not just for the success, but maybe why some of the guys, you know, want to play here. And that's going to get into something we'll talk about later, is where's Seiru going to go, where he's not going to go. There's those really cute images of Enzo and Seiru's kids on the pitch after the match, dancing around, chasing Fritzl and stuff like that. So I just think that's really cool. And it kind of goes to the bigger picture about how the region and how the fans play such a big role. You hear about the 12th man every once in a while. We talked about college football, college hockey, college basketball, obviously, is a big one. And it's just really neat to see that, you know, have an impact on not just the guys on the pitch, but the guys want to come here.
I think occasionally we forget that these are people, right? And this is a job for them. They're going to a workplace. So do you want to go to a workplace environment that's hostile, or do you want to go to a workplace environment that's supportive and, you know, really lifts you up? So I can see that having a big difference. And especially if Neubel's desire to come back to Germany to get in a club, he wasn't going to be starting with Bayern, and he knew that. So he had to come up with another option. Really, Stuttgart's a great launching point for a guy like Neubel to put in a couple years and then go do whatever he wants to do. And the club showed its willingness to support that with Endo here just a couple weeks ago. And you know, we've done this over and over and over again. We get guys in, they establish themselves as legitimate top tier players, and then they go get paid somewhere, and we wish them best luck. And if you're a guy like Girassi looking to kind of recover your career after a rough spell, or a guy like Neubel who's kind of been in limbo and looking to establish yourself as a premier performer, are there much better locations to do it right now than Stuttgart?
I think that's the other thing we forget too, is that how much more intimate the supporters and players are in Germany than they are in the United States. I can't speak to the Premier League. I know nothing about that, but there is definitely a wall between the players and the fans in the US. And that seems to be a much smaller, almost a fence in Germany. So I think you're much closer to those people. I've heard stories where Wolfsburg has to overpay to get people to go there. You know, it's just not that nice of a city, and it's just not that supported by the fan base. And maybe your friend who's a Wolfsburg fan can, you know, disagree with that. It'd be interesting to find out. But I think we forget that there is a much more intimate level of connectivity there that you just don't have in the United States. Maybe that helps play a role. Let's jump into scheduling a little bit. We got the Pokal draw. So we drew Union Berlin, one of your favorite teams, as I recall. The upcoming schedule, we've got a friendly with Van Wiesbaden coming up October 12th. Then we play Union in the Bundesliga October 21st. Then Hoffenheim. Then we've got the Pokal. 10 days after we play them in the Bundesliga, we've got the Pokal October 31st to end the month. Then the other big scheduling thing is the international break. So Chris Furich got his first call up to the national team under the new head coach, Nagelsmann. So that's awesome. Congratulations to him. He'll be playing October 14th in the United States against the United States, October 18th against Mexico. Seiru, Silas, Hiroki, Leonidas, Jovan, Wu Yang, and Enzo will be playing as well. So of all those stories about the upcoming schedule, which one sparks your interest the most?
The matches against Union coming up, when I first saw that we had got them in the Pokal, I was not thrilled. And then I went and looked at how Union's been doing, and now I'm not super worried. They only have 6 points. They've got a -3 goal differential, and they have lost all five of their last five games. They are in a tailspin.
And two of the Champions League games that they're participating in, they lost as well. So they're in a 7-game losing streak. So I was the same as you. Initially, I was like, Union. Because I was so happy with last year's run where we only played second, third, and fourth division teams up until the semis. So I was kind of hoping for that. Chris is the big story. You know, Chris getting his first call up. He's just been playing lights out with – he's got that one move, but he's playing really well. And it's just awesome to see the whole Jungenwald thing, you know, where these kids, like you mentioned with Alex Neubel, maybe he's not so much a kid anymore, use Vapi as a launching point and have success with it. I'm kind of interested to see if like some of these guys look and see what's happening to Endo and Dinos, and Borna didn't even play today for Ajax, and Ajax is now in the relegation zone in their league, and they're like, I can play a lot in Germany, or I can be on the bench in the Premier League, which, you know, the Premier League's the best there is, so I get it if you want to go there. It'll be interesting with the schedule because we have a lot of guys going on trips, and we've got a lot of good momentum, and now this break shows up. So you're always curious if the break is going to help or if it's going to hinder, you know, a little bit. So Chris is going to be traveling a lot. Sarah's going to be traveling. Silas, Hiroki. So hopefully those guys stay. The biggest thing is healthy when they come back. But it's always nice to have a Stuttgart player playing for the national team, so that's cool.
Yeah, and it's going to be fun to see. Hopefully we see Furich get some time against the U.S. And can watch that in a time zone that makes a little more sense for us against our boys in red, white, and blue. But it's, I think the German national team's at a really interesting point where they've been bad for a couple years now.
Yeah.
And they've got to mix some stuff up. And bringing in a guy like Furich, who's a hot hand, who's having a lot of success, makes a whole lot of sense. And hopefully you know, Die Mannschaft starts doing a little bit more of that and giving some more guys that haven't gotten looks opportunities, and more Stuttgart players, more players of other non-Bayern teams can get a fair crack at it.
Yeah, I'm not necessarily sold on Nagelsmann, but you know what? It's a nice change and good for Chris to get out there. The biggest thing for me, though, is I want us to destroy Van Wiesbaden. Our stretch of unbeaten matches versus second, third, and fourth division teams must continue, Matt. And even though it is behind closed doors, I want this to continue. We shall never lose again to a team that is not in the Bundesliga. So hopefully that streak can keep going. Let's get to the questions and comments here. We got a bunch of random ones. Another solid win. Why do we lose all the time last season? Can anyone stop Seiru? When will the scoring stop? Is it fair to say Chicago fans may be drinking the same Kool-Aid as, I wonder who sent this one, Detroit Lions fans? Because I definitely am. Matt, what is your favorite flavor of Kool-Aid while you're here, if I may ask?
I'll go with lemon lime. Love a lemon lime.
I'm going to go red. I don't know what the flavor is. I just like red. That's fair. Yeah.
I'm not drinking any Detroit Lions Kool-Aid as since we're not a video podcast, you're all very welcome. But Travis can see I am still sporting my Green Bay Packers cap. And even though the Packers are not great this year and the Lions really are, it's all green and gold on my end. Honest answer to a silly question of why did we lose all the time this last season? We couldn't score. We're scoring in buckets right now, and it's affected the attitude of the team and the way that they approach every aspect of the game. Last year, we were freaked out because if we got a goal scored against us, it was doom. And now we get one in, we're like, yeah, we're probably going to put three in on them. So who cares?
I know. It's a level of just certain players are developing. We have two players on the front end and back end, and Alex and Seiru, who are just playing really well right now. And you've got some luck, you know, as well. I don't know if we get that penalty kick last year. You know, it's maybe that's just fan talk, but I think we got a lot of things going for us. So keep the Kool-Aid, you know, coming. Tim asked or made a statement. Okay, this is starting to get repetitive. Seiru with another hat trick. Stuttgart is at the top, and we're all starting to run out of words to describe the feeling. I like what he says there, because the feeling I'm having is almost inexplicableness. I don't know how to explain how I feel at this point. My neighbor texted me, you know, after the win. He's like, what is happening and how did this happen? I'm like, basically what I told you, we got a couple guys develop, we got a couple guys playing well, we got a little bit of luck. It's wild to hear people say we could be finishing in the top seven and all that stuff. And I know what, you know, you said 2 weeks ago, it's like 8-9 would be okay with you, and that's absolutely makes, you know, more sense than trying to finish in the top four or anything like that. But it's just a weird feeling to describe that you're watching the Bayern Munich Freiburg post game and they're talking about Stuttgart and Seiru Girassi and how they're beneath us on the table.
Yeah, I don't know. It warms my evil heart a little bit to see Bayern down in third, and it would warm it more to see them down in 10th. But I'll take what I can get out of this life.
Yeah, I think that's the key, is I'm just taking what I can get at this point, which gets to the next question. A lot of questions about Seiru. So let's dive into that. Schalk America asked, you know, can Stuttgart Girassi keep this up? And why is black and yellow a terrible color combination? Oh, I wonder why they asked that. Shout out to those guys too. Schalke is, oh my gosh. They are on, if it ended today, they would be in the relegation playoffs in the second division. They just lost to Hertha, so they're struggling. Matt likes yellow there, guys, so I don't know if he's going to dive on board there. But Tim asks again, he's like, do you think Seiru will leave over the winter, stay over the season, or get an extended contract? Mike asks, you know, will he be here after the January window, or will some big money come in? So let's throw out some Seiru information here. So I'm going to bore you with some data. So the Bundesliga, good, that yawn was right on target. We should make this a video now. Bundesliga winter break is from December 19th to January 13th. Now, the transfer window is, as everybody knows, January 1 through the 31st. Complicating all of this is that the Africa Cup of Nations has been moved this year, and now it's taking place between January 13th and February 11th. Now, the draw for Guinea hasn't been done yet. That'll be Thursday as we record this. So while Seiru is gone, the matches that we have a match in January 13th, the 20th, the 27th. Then it gets a little confusing because you don't know how far Guinea is going to go. But there's potential matches at Gladbach, at Bochum, so two away matches in a row. Then at home versus Leipzig, at Freiburg. Now that's in February. Mainz is February 10th. And then we've got Darmstadt February 17th. Now, he should be done, even if they made it to the final February 11th. Who knows if he's going to come back, you know, right away and play or whatever. He stated, I love Stuttgart after the match. So that's definitely going to be the headline of this episode when we throw it out there. His kids were there. His family was there. So, Matt, I just threw a ton of info. Some of this is we don't know where he's at. professionally. We don't really know where he's at emotionally and mentally, obviously. And then when you throw in the complication of the Africa Cup of Nations, he's going to miss at least, I would guess, two matches, maybe three. And depending on how Guinea's run goes, possibly more. So throwing a lot of stuff at you, Matt, how do you respond to any of that?
I think other teams will want to sign him, even with him being out for the Africa Cup of Nations, because there will be teams in the Premier League who are floundering down around relegation and are trying to make panic moves and maybe think they can get a player for less than they might otherwise out of a cash-strapped organization like Stuttgart. We have read that the front office is working on extending his contract, on rewriting it to get rid of the buyout clause, which would be great because right now his buyout clause is 10 million, which is about 20 million less than we should get for him if he left at the moment. But I think I'm trying to be objective about this. And my fan heart says, of course he wants to play in Stuttgart. Stuttgart's the best. We got him out of the doldrums. He's performing at unbelievable levels. Like, why would anybody want to walk away from this? In reality, if he can get paid a bunch of money, that could set him and his family and his kids and his grandkids up potentially. There's a lot of reason to pull the ripcord and go. What I'm hoping is that Gerassi's family is comfortable in Stuttgart, that he's settled in well with the locker room, which I think has happened, that his wife and kids are in a neighborhood and schools that they like, and that they're all just saying, you know what, this is working. Let's stay here. You know, we're making enough money for right now. Let's see how well this can work. And maybe we finish the year on a good run and we're near Europa League or playing Europa League. And he's got that stage ahead of him. He's got a lot of reasons, I think, to stay. Because most of the teams who are going to be trying to poach him are going to be struggling teams from France, Spain, and England. Mm-hmm. And do you want to go from the second team in the league to a mid-tier club trying to scrap it out or not? I don't know. I'm hopeful. I'm really, really hopeful that everybody on the team has made this a nice place for him to be and that his family's happy and that he wants to stay. If he doesn't, I hope we get like $7 billion for this guy.
I was, Ballham asked this question a week or two ago, and it said, you know, I don't even like talking about this one anymore. And what I meant by that, it was not that I don't like the question. I get it. It's on everybody's minds. Is that I just want to enjoy this ride while we're on it. And I think at best case scenario, we go through match day 34 with Seiru. And hopefully he gets the golden boot, the golden cannon, the gold trophy, whatever the heck it is.
The beer filled something. I think it's the golden boot.
Let's go golden boot. I like that better than the beer filled golden cannon, which I don't know what that is. But I think that's the best we can hope for. And if that happens, awesome. And then we'll see, you know, where that goes from there. He's got a lot going on right now. He's got to be able to bet on himself. And ultimately, as a player, you know, January is going to be very interesting for everybody involved. Mm-hmm. He's got his career. He's got his national team to think about. So to answer the question, I'd rather answer the question, can he keep this up? And can Stuttgart keep this up? And there's going to be a dip at some point. Everybody knows it. Yeah. Honus admitted it. Volgemut admitted it. Everybody knows it. At some point, there's going to be a bit of a dip. And it's just, it'll be interesting to see how long that dip is and if we can bounce back, you know, from that dip. I will admit, I got a little schadenfreude today when Harry Kane didn't score any goals for Bayern and he got pulled out around the 60th minute. What was a easy win for them. I would love to see Seiru get the goal-scoring championship. I think that would be fantastic. Everything is trending in the right direction. And I think what last week showed is that this team, while it desperately needs Seiru, I don't want to say that at all, that we can go without him, is that with him, even if he's in a slump, I think there's some guys that can pick up the slack and help the team. So that's to shock America's question to start, that started this whole strand of us basically randomly fanboy loving Seiru at this point.
Yeah.
I think that's the point, is that I think there's enough talent on this roster with this system that when Seiru goes into that inevitable slump, these guys can pick it up around him. And I think the chemistry is so good this year, I think that can happen. So I think, can they keep up second place? I don't think this is a hot take. No. Do I think they can keep up winning more than they're losing? I do. I do.
Yeah, I think once we start to see a Bayer Leverkusen, a Bayern, Dortmund, Leipzig put us through a buzzsaw the last time we saw them, those are going to be stiff. I mean, Wolfsburg, despite the 3-1 score, that was a tight game for most of the game.
Right.
They put up a big fight against us and made us earn every inch of that. My hope is that when Gerassi slows down, that his gravity on the pitch is pulling guys out of position to make sure that they're covering him. And that opens up lanes for Furich, for Enzo Mio, for Llewellyn, for Silas, for Undav. And those guys start just banging some stuff home and seeing some of the success that Gerassi's seeing, because the opportunities are going to be there. Teams are going to be forced to overplay Seiru. So I think some of those guys can do that. And I just have to, we got to wait and see and hope they do.
And this kind of gets to the next question from the FC Köln supporter. So thanks to Schalke America and the Köln supporters for listening in and adding in some questions. Are you afraid to learn what Verrill did to the club to make all this happen for Valve Bay? And the reason why I find this question interesting is because Köln is struggling mightily. They're at one point, they're last on the table, but to tie into something you just said, the Mainz win wasn't a blowout. Okay, that was pretty close for most of it. The Köln match was pretty close for a bit of it. We're playing the schedule and we're beating the teams that in theory we should beat. I was reading on the Köln Reddit about how some people were saying, listen, we need to calm down because all the teams we've played but one are at the top of the table. And we were mentioned in there. And I think that's a completely fair point, because a lot of the teams that we have played are at the bottom of the table. And so the season is often on a razor's edge. At this point, we're on the right side of that edge. So that's kind of going back to what we were talking about before, but going back to Verrill, he's kind of been in the background here for a bit. I mean, it's something that you and I said a while ago, is amazing what winning can do, right?
Yeah. And part of me wants to say shut up for that very reasonable take. But yeah, 100%. This could turn on any minute. And as we've been saying repeatedly, let's just enjoy what we're getting while we're getting it. And it has been fascinating that Verrill's managed to keep his mouth shut this entire time, because it seems like every time he opened it previously, his foot went straight into it. So winning cures a lot of ills. Let's hope it keeps curing ours.
Yeah, I half expect him to say, you know, if we didn't have all these Sven players on the team, we'd be in first place. Yeah, so everything's going pretty well here. Baham asks again, oh, this is a specific question for us, Matt. Is our 98th episode is this one right now? Our 100th episode has come up in a couple weeks. Yes, are there any plans for this yet? A shirt giveaway for the episode 100? I mean, do you have any thoughts or ideas? Do you? Because I got none. I don't know. Do we do a t-shirt signed by all of us? Do we do a Stuttgart t-shirt? Do we just not record episode 100 and just do silence? What do we do to celebrate 100 episodes?
I feel like it would lower the value of a shirt if we signed it, and people would not want to use it. How about, do we still have stickers left from the trip down to Texas?
We don't. We sent them to Stuttgart with Ted when he made his trip. We can always order some.
Let's put our heads together. Maybe we'll do something with stickers or something, but let's do something for anybody who asks a question on episode 100 or sends in a note to say that we're terrible and our audio quality sucks and that my office is too echoey. Voice is too nasally.
Travis laughs too much all the time. Fair enough.
Whatever you got, send us some feedback with a way to get in touch with you, and we will come up with something clever to do. And we don't know what that is because we don't think ahead, because we are, after all, unprepared, as it says in the intro.
I think I'll add the poll, because on our platform, we can add a poll question. So maybe that'll be the poll question. What should we do to celebrate episode 100? And I'm guessing the answer will be cancel after episode 100. Rick Thomas sent in, he posted Loverboy's loving every minute of it after this song. I mean, maybe that's a prize. We sing, and then Flabby Viking posted that unfortunately Valpy TV isn't uploading the matches very fast. So it's good to know that Valpy Service is still doing their still doing their thing. Matt. So a friend of mine in Germany is mailing me a kit. Now, he didn't tell me which kit it is. And he mailed it on Saturday. I was like, hey, Herwig, let me know how much the postage is and I'll send it to you. And so he went to the post office on this past Saturday. And I said, okay, well, how much do I owe you? Because I know it's pretty expensive to ship from Germany. He's like, it was like under $7. I was like, wait, what? It was under $7. He's like, yeah, just buy me a beer the next time I'm in the States. I was like, but I thought it was always 40 euro to ship from there,
yeah,
the Stuttgart store. So this is part two of when will Travis's kit show up? So last time it didn't show up. What is your over under? It left on Saturday.
Ooh, it left on Saturday. I bet it's here. I bet it's here in 10 days. I bet it's less than 20.
I don't know if I'm going to be happy or angry about that.
I would not be surprised if it shows up on the 14th. So 1 week.
Oh, those guys.
I think whatever voodoo they have going on at the South Bay fan shop with their international shipping department is throwing you off, and Herwig's going to come through.
All right. We'll see about that. All right, folks. So that'll be one of our polls is what should we do for our 100th episode? And is Herwig shipping better than Valve-based shipping? And I guess the answer is,
how much better is Herwig shipping than Valve-based shipping?
Yeah, I know. Use a good segue there. We're going to talk about better. Right now, we've got one team who's playing the Champions League, Union Berlin, but we got another team who's currently playing better. And Valve-based Stuttgart, Matt, you ready to go to the last part of this, part four? Some predictions for our next match?
Let's do it.
All right, Matt, so after the international break, we're playing on a Saturday, Union Berlin, and we're playing them at their place. Now, they own us. We have one win and six draws in the last 10. Most of the games are pretty low-scoring affairs, but last year they beat us 0-1 at home, and in Bruno's final match, they beat us 3-0 on the road, won their first two Bundesliga matches. They lost to Heidenheim on the road. They had a crazy home streak that was ended this year by Leipzig. We will forever be linked by these guys because of the relegation playoffs. Before we get into odds and predictions, Union Berlin, I think you've mentioned them once or twice about your feelings about them. Want to kind of remind us?
Union Berlin sent us down after a relegation playoff two-legger where they, in fairness, mostly outplayed us. But I have been salty about that ever since it happened. I have begrudging respect for Union because they know who they are. They play a very specific system and they have had huge success just being Union Berlin. I respect that. It also infuriates me because being Union Berlin is what got us relegated. So I don't take a whole lot of joy in seeing them tanking this season because it kind of sucks to see the Union way take a big blow. But I'm not shedding any tears for them.
Yeah, I think I like them a little bit more than you like them. But yeah, we were forever tied together because that relegation playoff there. But they've had a super rough start to the year. They're in the Champions League, and everybody asks and everybody wonders, and this goes to what you said 2 weeks ago, is, you know what? Making it into the Europa League or the Champions League sounds pretty awesome, but can you handle that schedule? So they could be getting pretty tired at this point. They don't usually lose 4-2. They just gave up 4 goals to Dortmund this weekend. So they play the 21st. They host us, and 3 days later, they've got to play Napoli in the Champions League. Then they play us again in the Pokal. I don't know. Their schedule's pretty crazy. I don't think the roster is super deep, like similar to ours. What do you think the odds makers have this one at? We're on the road at a place we usually don't play very well, but they're struggling a bit. What do you think?
I think it's going to have us by half a goal because Ooh. Even though we're there, because Union's been just in the bucket, and I can't see the odds makers. Stuttgart fans have got to be flying high, and we got to remember that they're making these splits to try and encourage people to bet. So I that's my guess. They're giving us half a goal.
It's pretty close. It's a pick 'em, which is almost like the almost like we're a favorite, because usually what they do is they give the home team half a goal just to start. It's almost like NFL football, but the home team almost always starts with a 3-point advantage when it comes to the Vegas odds maker. So it's almost like they're giving us the advantage here, but it is a pick 'em. Now, this is going to be after the international break, so Union's going to have a chance to try to fix what is wrong with them. We've got more guys gone on international play, so that could hurt us a little bit going into this one. We lost to them twice last year, 4-0 last year. Predictions 2 weeks ahead, I'm not even going to lie to you. I don't even know if I'll make a prediction, because I can't. It's 2 weeks from now. Who knows what's going to happen? But if we were playing this weekend, what would you say?
If we're playing this weekend, I'd say 3-1 Stuttgart with goals from Undav, Furich, and Milo, and 2 assists from Jirasi.
Wow. Huge player of the day. Yeah, it's impossible not to take the guys in white and red at this point. It's just a question of, are they going to wear red on the road, or are they going to wear that green on the road? Union is struggling. They've got a great coach, really good system, like you said, amazing support, but that schedule just might be a little bit too much for them. I would imagine as they're down 0-2 in the Champions League, they're going to focus more on the Bundesliga match against us than they are on the match versus Napoli. That would be my guess. What do you think of that?
I would think so, but maybe there's some hope that they can crawl back into the Champions League and make a run there. And they say, well, screw it, we can take one game against Stuttgart and put it in the bag and not worry about it. And we're going to focus all of our fire on Napoli.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough one, but looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to the break. It's going to be awesome to – it's always awesome to go into the break with a win. So that's fantastic. It's going to be awesome to look at the table in second place. So that's fantastic. And look upon the mountaintop of the people beneath us. That'll be kind of fun too. So, Matt, it's been a great first 7 games of the Bundesliga season. We are just tearing things up. Final thoughts, final words before we wrap this one up.
It is a wonderful time to be a Stuttgart supporter. It's always a wonderful time to be a Stuttgart supporter, but let's all take just a moment. Those of us who have been around for a little while, remember the pain and how much fun this is, and not lose sight of the fun that we get to have right now while worrying about what we do if and when Seru leaves our shores. This is just an exciting team to watch. Soak it in, friends.
Yeah, Doug, the sporting director of our OFC, put something out there about how much fun this is, how much fun this club is to watch. And I think he even surprised the Valpy International admin, because she retweeted what Doug had said. So it's just a fun time to be playing, considering everything that's going on in the flipping world right now. So it's an awesome time to be a Valpy supporter. It's an awesome time to be able to talk to all of you guys about all this stuff. So looking forward to getting back in a couple weeks. Matt, thanks so much for joining here. And hopefully the next time we talk, you know what? We've beaten Union Berlin once, twice, maybe thrice at that point.
More victories.
Does it ever get old?
No, never. More and more and more and more and more.
So hungry for winning. All right, everybody. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll talk to you in a couple of weeks. Enjoy your international break and stay safe, everybody.